thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
So my name's Lauren. It's really nice to be here. I see some people that I know, which is great. So I'm just going to share a wee bit about like what Exodus is, and kind of I wanted to give you a bit more of an in-depth view into what a team looks like and the different stages and stuff. So now more than ever, young people need to connect with others. We've been through lockdowns, we've been through isolations, we've been through working at home, remote learning, and it's all been quite challenging, and it's made life look a wee bit different. And young people just want to meet others, serve God, and travel. And at the heart of Exodus, it's a commitment to journeying with young people. And it's this that energizes us. In Psalm 78, it says, "My people hear my teaching, listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from what of old things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done." So we believe young people need someone to walk with them as they navigate through life, through faith and following Jesus. So it's true in all aspects of life. It's commonly held that, you know, the belief in many walks of life that we need mentors, role models, and people to show us the way, like athletes who need a coach or an inspirational player, like students who look to a teacher for everything from spelling to sums, right up to master's degrees and PhDs. Apprentices look to establish tradesmen to learn their skill. In all areas of life, we look for people who will walk with us as we learn, and especially we need that with Jesus. So this idea is true for our young people. We recognize the challenges that they face as young Christians, and particularly during this time. Mental illness is going up, church engagement is going down, and I'm pretty sure learning to drive, getting a boyfriend and passing exams are still as difficult as I found them when I was 17. Navigating adolescence can be tricky, full of busyness, and we believe as Christians that we must not sit on the sidelines or watch from a distance, but get involved up close in the lives of young people. We must point them to Jesus, pray with them through hard times, and champion them as they grow in their faith and maturity. We must walk with them. So Exodus exists to see a generation of young people boldly following Jesus and becoming lifelong disciple makers. Fundamentally, we want to pass on the faith to the next generation and invite them to continue to pass it on, like what Psalm 78 says. So Exodus started back in 1997 in a wee seaside town in Portstewart, which I'm sure many of you love to visit, especially in the summer. So I was only 3 then, and I don't think any of our young people were even born. So back then, the core idea was to offer an alternative nightlife to young people. So an environment for fun, connection, and a place where young people could meet other Christians and get involved in discipling relations. The organisation wanted to connect with young people and invite them to come and see what life with Jesus could be like. Fast forward to today, and we have a team spread across Northern Ireland and Eastern Europe, with staff working out of Coleraine, Lisburn, Derry, / Londonderry, Banbridge, Belfast, Budapest, and Zutor in Romania. Despite spreading out and developing our organisation, the vision remains the same, seeing a generation of young people who want to boldly follow Jesus and become lifelong disciple makers. So what does that look like here locally? There are 4 things I want to just tell you about. So the first one is mentoring. So Exodus offers mentoring on a one-to-one or a one-to-two capacity, where there's a relationship between an older and a younger Christian, and it focuses on the scripture and just growing in faith. The second one is training. So we stand with any church who wants to disciple young people with training and resources on small groups, mentoring, or discipleship. The third being events and residentials. So from one-off fun events like our New Year's Eve party that we had back on the 31st of December, or Halloween Silent Disco. These are events that a young person can invite a friend to, or we have our 6-month disciples program where young people come once a month just to seek and to serve Christ. And we also host youth groups in our Corian residential centre. We have just got funding to employ a new outreach worker. So that will look at starting up new connections with those in the community and just trying to build roots for young people in their faith with Jesus. And then finally, we do teams. So teams are a 16-week program of small groups tailored towards a young person's age and stage, followed by an adventurous service opportunity or trip across Ireland or even to Romania, Hungary, Spain and South Africa. And I'm sure you'll hear a wee bit more about that when the kids come up later. So there are four strands of team that help to shape all of our ministry and serve young people well on our faith journey. So firstly, we have Explore. So they all begin with an EX. Okay, so the first one is Explore. So this can be described as no faith to faith. It's for young people age 15 plus who, like the disciples, are being invited to come and see what Jesus is all about. And in John chapter 1, verse 38 and 39, it says, "Come," Jesus replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. Over the 16-week course, young people on an Explore team are invited to think about the big components of faith. Who is God? Who is Jesus? Why is the cross so important? In this course, young people are discipled through an intentional and up-close way so they can be introduced to faith, maybe for the first time or in a whole new way. So that is Explore. The second one is Exchange. So this can be described as My Way to His Way. On this course, young people learn about what it looks like as a follower of Christ to participate in God's community, to reflect Christ's character, to enjoy God's presence, to seek his truth, and to share in his community. In Mark chapter 8, verse 34, it says, "Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me.'" So I've seen this in the life of a young person this year who very bravely told her leader about some hassles that she would be getting from people in school about doing an Exodus team. She told her leader that she wouldn't be able to come to team until she was on study leave because she just couldn't deal with the jeering and the jokes anymore. After a chat with her leader and a week to think and pray, she showed up at team the next week and she told her leader, "Jesus deserves better and more from me. I can't let what my friends do or say get in the way of following him." And I think that young person just captured the heart of what Exchange means, to put Jesus first. So thirdly, we have Express. So we've had Explore, Exchange, and Express. So this can be described as private faith to public expression. In Luke 10, verse 2, it says, "He told them, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field.'" Now, not that we're meant to have favourites, but through all the years that I've led teams, this is definitely the course that I see God work through the most. During this team experience, young people really learn what it is to count the cost, to use their gifts and talents for Jesus, to commit, to serve, and to pour from a place of overflowing, knowing Christ and then showing him to others. This is where I've personally seen just young people take their personal faith and make it public to those around them. In a space of service, Christ is at work. So we've had Explore, Exchange, Express, and finally the fourth one is Extend. So this is described as My Walk to Their Walk. And in Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20, it says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." This is for young people who are ready to bring people in on the journey of discipleship with them. They are invested in the people that God has placed around them, and they want to see growth and depth in those people's lives. On this course, young people spend time looking at how to share faith, how to articulate the gospel well, how to pray for others, just how to pass faith on. Hopefully, this has given you a bit of an overview into what the four aspects or four strands of team are and what it looks like to serve in the summertime. Now, what I would love is for Karis and Catherine and Rebecca and Noah to come up on stage, and they're going to give you more of an actual real-life experience as to what team looks like.
So where are you going this year and what are you most excited for?
So this year looks a little bit different for me because I'm leading a team this year. an exchange team to Slovakia. So I've got seven 15-year-olds and traveling with them over to Slovakia with my friend Adam, who's never been on a team before. So it's all very new, but it's really exciting. But the thing I'm probably most excited for in Slovakia is meeting the church and meeting the people who we're going to be working with. Last year, the people who we worked with, Sylvester and Sheila, were absolutely incredible in their church. Were so great, and yeah, they spoke fluent English, which was incredible as well. It's not really often you get that, so we're just really praying for something like that, that we can we'll be able to communicate with our church. So I'm really excited just to see the work that goes on in Slovakia.
I'm going to Spain. I'm going to a little town called Camas, which is just outside Seville, and I'm very excited to get out onto the street, because we're doing a bit of like street ministry, just asking to pray for strangers and stuff, and excited to get out of my comfort zone and like get more into the way of just talking to strangers and openly about my faith.
Yes, so I'm going to Romania, and I'm not going to embarrass myself by saying the name of the village because I can't. But we're going, it's like at the north of Romania. So we're going there, and I'm most excited to like meet new people and like share the word of God with them and see how they react to it and like see how like their daily life is. So,
what are some of the biggest challenges you face on team, and is there anything that you're nervous for?
Yeah, as I said before, the last year we didn't really have a problem with the language barrier, because we always had a translator. Even the people who we were with, their whole family could speak English. So I don't know if that's the case for this one. So I'm a wee bit nervous about translation, and especially whenever you're taking young people to try and teach or to try and get, do we hold Bible clubs, and hopefully, yeah, just trying to train them up a wee bit to be able to do that. And so yeah, that's probably the biggest challenge. Something I'm nervous for is probably taking 7 15-year-olds to Slovakia. Yeah, just the traveling and making sure no one gets lost. I know, well, I lost my suitcase on the way home last year, and I just hope that nothing really like that happens, or yeah, just everything's easy.
Well, from past experience, tiredness has always been a problem on team, because they're very full on. You don't really have time to like rest. It's just constantly on the toes. So I really hope that I can work on that and try and keep my energy high. The same as Cars, I'm quite nervous for the language barrier. I don't want it to get in the way of anything that God wants us to do. And I just hope that we'll find a way around it. That we can preach to everyone.
Yeah, so I was going to say language barrier as well. But I think like I'm also nervous to see how like people react to us being there, you know, like coming into such a small village and like seeing how they take us. So I don't know, I just pray that God will put his hand upon us and like they'll know that it's okay and that we're safe. So.
And how can we all pray for you as a church?
Yeah, lots of prayer. Yeah, there's so many things. If we could write a list of things that we would need prayer for. I think kind of peace in a way, like peace of mind is a big thing for me and all the other team leaders. And also just what goes on in teams, like building up. So I think it's about 20 weeks for you meet about 20 weeks before we go on team. So even just praying now for those, that we would grow closer together and kids would grow, closer to Jesus, through those. And then just for the actual team themselves, pray for our hosts, and pray for our travel. And yeah, that people would be really receptive. As Catherine says, it can be really daunting going into, a village where it's like, just completely different, and you don't know how people are going to react even if you're staying on team in Northern Ireland. It can be scary as well. So yeah, just pray for the teams and the hosts and for discipleship.
So I'd love just to pray before we start, if that's okay. Father, just thank you for tonight. Thank you for a space just to come and be with people who love you. And Father, I just thank you for young people who are giving up their time to serve you and fall more in love with you. And Father, I just pray that just through and would have prepared, Father, that you would just speak to each of us. And Father, may we hear and see you at work, and may we leave changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So with the focus just being on mission and teams, I kind of thought it might be apt to just spend a few minutes and look at the position of our hearts and how we come into just serving Jesus. So if you'd like to open your Bibles, whether it be on your phone or if you have it with you, at Romans chapter 7, verse 21, and I'm just going to lift mine because I forgot it. So that's Romans chapter 7 and verse 21. And then if you just keep your finger in it, we'll have a wee look at it in a wee minute. So Walt Disney, he was fired from his first job because he was told that he lacked imagination. He had 300 banks turn down the idea of his Walt Disney theme park, and at one stage he became bankrupt. He maintained determination and focus on what he wanted to achieve. And today his movies, his merchandise and theme parks are worth billions. He himself said, to some people, I am kind of a Merlin who takes lots of crazy chances, but rarely makes mistakes. I've made some bad ones, but fortunately the successes have come along fast enough to cover up the mistakes. When you go to bat as many times as I do, you're bound to get a good average. I wonder, have you ever set yourself a goal that you didn't achieve? Has there ever been something that you thought was going to happen and then it didn't? Well, when I was 12, I was pretty adamant that I was going to be a full-time farmer just like my daddy. I learned to milk cows, to top grass, to measure grass, to spread fertilizer, to lift silage bales. I spent my whole time working for my dad. And I loved it. But I never actually achieved that goal because, well, I'm 29. I live just outside Balmoney in Durbrick. I'm married to Ethan, who works Nexus. I am the mummy to lovely Ezra. And I'm actually a part-time teacher. But I'm someone who really loves serving Jesus and ministry. And I just thought that there were two things that we could really focus on tonight that specifically I would love to leave with young people who are doing stuff this summer. It doesn't mean that you have to be on an Exodus team. You could be doing something in your church. You could be doing an SU team, whatever it looks like. And they are, firstly, that we are most satisfied in him, Jesus, when he is most glorified in us. So the first one is, we are most satisfied in Jesus when he is most glorified in us. And the second being that we should live over striving. So why do we always settle for something less? Why do we set goals and not seek to achieve them? John Piper, who I got that first part from, his mantra is, we are most satisfied in him when he is most glorified in us. And that challenges us to think about who we are, what satisfies us, what we actually seek to achieve in life, our goals, and what we do that maybe we put something in front of glorifying God. What does that look like? So in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, Paul says, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus and him crucified. And sometimes I like to use the message because it just paints a picture for us. And it says, I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First Jesus and then who he is. So Paul here is pushing us to see our lives with one single focus, with Jesus and the cross. So all we as Christians should aim to live a life that's worthy of what Jesus did on the cross for us. King Solomon is an example of someone who let the world distract him and became focused on worldly goals and not on what Paul told us to keep the main thing, Jesus and Christ crucified. He, in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 1 and 4, marries an Egyptian and starts to worship at shrines. Solomon was allowing his focus to be taken away from Jesus and his death. The good news about this is that our hearts don't always have to be at war with God, that there is a way through Jesus and the cross that we have a path to take to salvation, to justification, and to being close with Jesus. So, with our Bibles open at Romans chapter 7, verse 21, I would love to read just to chapter 8, verse 4. And it says these words. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit, who gives life, has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, and in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Good news! God is still wanting to change us and to see us live for him, and he has done that through Jesus. So our first part was, we are most satisfied in him when he is most glorified in us. For us, we must keep Jesus as the forefront of our lives. He is our focus and our goal. He is who we live for and strive for, and who we talk about and who we live just a life worthy of and for his calling. The second part was living over striving. So Jesus looks at our heart first. And we see that in 1 Samuel 16, where he says, "But the Lord said to Samuel, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And in Psalm 51, verse 16, it says, "You do not desire a sacrifice, or I would offer one. You do not want a burnt offering. The sacrifice you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God." Striving and thriving. Striving is when we act out of what we know is right. So we know that we need to read our Bibles. We know that we need to pray. We know that it's good to serve in our church. But we do this in our own brokenness and in our own strength. We do not rely on Christ. What God strives for us or wants for us or longs for us is when we thrive, we are experiencing freedom that it talks about in the passage in chapter 8. When we are living authentically, when we live by the Spirit, we are connected to Jesus, like what we see in John 15. We make Jesus our home and we stay connected to the vine. When we are authentically connected to Christ, we thrive in the fruit of the Spirit. We don't have the capacity to love, forgive, to have self-discipline if we aren't connected to Christ. So how do we respond, or what does this mean for us? So when we are most satisfied in him, he is most glorified in us. We can only be truly satisfied when we are truly glorifying God. We must keep him our sole focus and keep Jesus and the cross at the forefront of our lives. Thriving over striving. We must make Jesus our home, stay connected to the vine, and choose to live authentically. It's time to stop pretending and to be honest with ourselves. Ask ourselves what's holding us back. How must we respond to all that God has done for us? So personally then, for the guys who are serving this summer, my challenge for you, first off, let God speak. Let him move in you. Open your eyes to hear him. Open your eyes to see him. Open your ears to hear him. And ask God, what do you require of me, or what do you want to teach me? And secondly, keep Christ central. So don't allow yourself to become distracted by the people around you or by busyness of teams. Stay focused, doing your Bible rhythms, asking questions, and using your gifts and talents to glorify his name. So when we are most satisfied in him, he is most glorified in us. And God asks us to strive for his name's sake. So I would love to pray just to close. Father, just thank you. For these young people, thank you for the gifts and talents that you have given them. Thank you that in your word you have promised that you will not withhold any good thing done according to your purpose and will. And Father, I pray a blessing just over these young people who are going to serve. Father, may they see you at work in their life, really up close and personal. May they see just the good things that you will do in the people around them. May they see people fall in love with you, and may they see people fall more in love with you as they plant deep roots. Father, I pray for this church. I thank you so much for their heart and for their heart of mission. And Father, I pray you would bless them as they bless others around them. Father, may they see you at work, and may they hear the stories of celebration when these young people come back after their time of service. But Father, we love you, and we thank you for Jesus, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com. Yeah.